Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are tuning in. If this is your first time joining us, then welcome. If this is not your first time joining us, then welcome back. Today, I'll be talking to you about becoming a better parent today. I've been thinking a lot about parenting. Parenting is one of the most rewarding yet challenging roles that we have. And I know these last few months, parenting has been quite a challenge for a lot of us. You have parents who have had the unexpected experience of having to homeschool their kids and work at the same time, having to try to explain the pandemic to the kids to figure out what to say to them about what's going on, why life looks so different, when are things going to go back to where they were, are they going to go back to where they were, and then the added pressure of trying to explain about the culture right now. There's a lot of conversations that are needed to be had about race relations and trying to explain to your kids what's going on, what is racism, what is your role in racism, how to take a stand against racism. A lot of different things that are going on with parents. And then also, shout out to the parents who have had kids who are either high school seniors or seniors in college, and just a lot of memories that have been lost, and then trying to support them and figure out their next steps as well. And so I thought, now that we are at the beginning of our summer, why not take some time to figure out what are some ways that we can become better parents? You know, I think we're really hard on ourselves as parents, and I think it's coming from a good place. We really, really, really want to see our kids succeed. We want to make sure that they do well in society, that they contribute in a positive way, that they learn from our mistakes. And in that effort, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, or we have that parenting peer pressure where we look at somebody else's kids or we look at social media to determine what kind of parent we should be, or we compare our kids to other people's kids, and it just results in a lot of guilt. And when we start to parent out of guilt and fear, we're not coming from the best version or parenting version that we could be. We start to beat ourselves up for the mistakes that we make, or if we have to work too much and we're not able to spend as much quality time as we'd like to. And so just even before I jump in with the tips that I'm going to share with you today, I just want to start out by saying, give yourself grace. All right. I want you to give yourself grace. You're doing the very best that you can do. Does that mean that you don't have room to improve? Does that mean that I don't have room to improve? It does not mean that. There's always room to improve. But I think if you start from a foundation of giving yourself grace, and I don't mean grace as in giving yourself permission to be slack and neglectful in your parenting, but I mean giving yourself grace as in reminding yourself that you're doing the best that you can do. If there are mistakes that you've made, that's not uncommon. And so start out by giving yourself grace, and that way you're able to start from a foundation of love and forgiveness, so that you don't parent out of guilt and try to start buying and earning your kids' love and affection. There's a funny quote that I saw online about parenting that said, if parenthood came with the GPS, it would mostly just say recalculating. And I think that's so fitting for our role as parents. But what I want to do is to make sure that our recalculation is coming from a healthy place. I mean, I do realize that a lot of the pressure that we place on ourselves as parents can come from our own parenting backgrounds. There are things that we've learned from our parents to do and not to do in our parenting. And I think that we often put that pressure on ourselves. We're also worried about what other people think about our parenting. And especially for Christian parents, I think there's this added layer of pressure to be a perfect parent who produces perfect kids. And so today I want to give you 8 tips to improve your parenting starting today. Now, these won't be magical overnight results, but I certainly do think that what I'm going to share today, there are some things that you can start to implement immediately. There's going to be a lot of information and a lot of scriptures and resources, so you might have to listen to this episode more than once. And then also be sure to visit the show notes so that you can get all of the scriptures and all of the resources that I'm going to talk about today. Before I jump in, I want to ask you to do something for me. I want to ask you to pause this episode, go on over to whatever platform that you listen to the show on, and rate, review, and subscribe if you have not already done that. But if you have already done that, I ask you to share this with another parent or your own parent or another caregiver in your circle. The first tip is probably something that you'd already guessed if you have listened to any of my podcast episodes. You know, a lot of the times whenever I give you recommendations, the first thing that I ask you to do is pray. I think there are times when parents pray and the prayer is focused on God, change my kid, change my child, fix them, fix her, fix him, show him how to do this, show her how to do that. But I want to ask you to start by praying that God would show you how to specifically parent this child, specifically show you how to parent each child. God loves us equally but differently because he knows what each of us needs. And so it's not that he loves me more than he loves you or that he loves someone else more than he loves me. It's that God knows what we all need. And so he's equipped to parent us and love us equally but differently. And I think he can show you the same ways to do that in your own parenting. And in that prayer, I do believe that God will show you specifically how he made your child, how he made your children, so that you can love them and accept them for how he made them, not for how you want them to be. And it's not to say that you don't have good intentions for your children. It's not to say that. But I think sometimes in our efforts to want to push our kids to succeed and we want them to be the best version of themselves that they can be, I think sometimes we miss the mark because we don't really know who they are. And if we do know, we don't fully accept it. I'll give you a personal example. Probably around the time that my son was starting to transition to middle school, I started to wonder about his mood. My son is very, very quiet. And so as a psychologist, naturally, I'm always paying attention to his mood and his social activities and things like that. And so just noticing that my son did not have a lot of friends, or when he would participate in things, he would be kind of hanging back, right? And whenever I would ask him, did you enjoy that? He would say, yeah, I thought it was great. And so for a long time, I would just watch him and start to get worried because in my mind, I'm thinking men are leaders. In my mind, I'm thinking, well, if he's too quiet, I don't want my son to get passed over for any opportunities. I don't want someone to perceive him as someone who's passive or someone who's weak or disinterested in particular opportunities and things like that. But I want to tell you, God showed me something that really changed my way of thinking. God showed me just how similar my son is to me. And I'm very reserved. I am one of those people that in social settings, I typically hang back. And I talked to my son one day about it. And he was telling me, he said, you know, Mom, I like to observe before I engage in a friendship with someone. And I started thinking, wow, that's really wise of you to pay attention to someone's behavior to see if this is someone you even want to befriend, instead of just jumping right in and trying to be the life of the party and your relationships are not meaningful, your friendships are not meaningful. And so it was very heartwarming for me for God to reveal that specific thing in my son, and it allowed me to take a step back and figure out ways how I could cultivate how God made him naturally, not how I thought he should be, not how society says he should be, but it allowed me to take a step back and see what are some things that I can do, what are some activities that I can put him in that naturally fit with how God made him. And one of the things that we did was we read this book called Quiet. Now, I've read the book, but there's also a teen version, and I love this book. It's by Susan Cain, and I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. But what I did was I had him to read the book, and it was life-changing for him as well, because I think there was also this pressure from school and from other people that you shouldn't be reserved. You need to be outgoing, that people who appear to be shy, they're weak, or they don't have much to contribute. And that book actually helped him to own the fact that it's not that I'm not a leader, but I lead in a different way. So I said all of that to say, start praying to ask God to specifically show you how to parent this child. And one of the ways that you can do that is by learning your child's love language. You know that popular book by Gary Chapman that a lot of couples use to determine their love language? Well, a lot of people don't know that there's also a version for kids. And I think it's a great book, and I will be sure to put that resource in the show notes. But it's called The Five Love Languages of Children, and it's by Gary Chapman and Ross Campbell. And it has the same five love languages: the acts of service, gifts, physical touch, quality time, and words of affirmation. And the book is wonderful, and it shows you how you can learn ways to discover your child's love language. And they even, I know the version that I have, one of the chapters specifically talks about figuring that out if you're married, but also figuring it out if you're a single parent. So again, I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. All right, so the first one is start by praying. The second one is validate their emotions. I cannot stress this enough, but I know that parents often say the things that were said to us. Have you ever said when you were younger, I'm tired, and then your mom or dad or grandma or somebody like that said, you don't know what tired is, you're too young to be tired? Or if you say that you're sad or upset about something and the other person said, well, too bad, you'll get over it, right? And so I think we sometimes find ourselves repeating those same patterns, and it teaches your kids that their emotions don't matter because they're young. And that's not the message that we want to send, right? We want to make sure that we don't become the voice in their head as they grow up where they start to invalidate their own emotions. And I want to especially say this to parents of male children, is to be mindful that you don't invalidate your son's emotions, because where else is he going to have a safe outlet for his emotions? If he's told that he's gay for crying, or that he's weak for crying, or that he is weak or a fag, or all kinds of unpleasant names for having or wanting to express vulnerable emotions, where else is he going to learn to have that outlet? Because what that teaches him is that it's not okay for me to ever feel anything. We have to remember as parents that we are our child's first image of God. And when we make it unsafe for them to express themselves, then they assume that God is the same way. I want to stop and ask you a question. Can you think of any ways that you unintentionally invalidate your child's emotions? And I think as you answer that question, you have to go deeper and ask yourself, do I invalidate my own emotions? Am I able to identify, manage, and validate my own emotions? We set the tone when we're all over the place emotionally. And I cannot tell you how many adult patients I've had who have told me, oh, we didn't do emotions in my house, or we made a joke out of everything, or we swept everything under the rug. And so it was like two different extremes. They either didn't do emotions, or there was so many emotions that the person decided, I can't handle this level of emotional intensity, so I'll just turn my own emotions off. Right? So you are the emotional thermostat for your home. And I want to encourage you as a parent, as a mom, dad, grandmother, caregiver, whatever role you play in this child's life, I want to encourage you to start by identifying, managing, and validating your own emotions. You know, as I do couples therapy, I have to give couples some really, really, really tough feedback sometimes. And some of that feedback is, it sounds to me like the two of you are scapegoating your children, or you're scapegoating your child. Yes, there might be a child who is wayward, or a child who is rebellious, or any of those things. I'm not saying that those things do not need to be actively addressed. But what I've found is that a lot of parents or couples who come in to me, they are laser focused on that child, what the child needs to stop doing, how terrible the child is, how much the child's anger is influencing the other kids, how they don't do homework, all these things. And all of those things may be true. I don't discount those things. But what I notice is that sometimes that child is scapegoated because the parent does not want to face the reality that they have some issues that they need to work on. And so it's my job as your therapist to give you some very tough but honest feedback. You know, I think you guys need to work on yourselves individually. And I think you guys need to work on yourselves as husband and wife, as partners, because that's bleeding over into your marriage. And so people don't do it, I think, consciously. But a lot of times parents can collude together because it's comfortable, right? And it keeps what we call the homeostasis in the family, where we don't really have to rock the boat because we can shift all of the problems onto this one person. And so there's a lot of articles and research out there on how scapegoated children end up being emotionally impacted. But for today's show, I specifically want you to make sure that you are not doing the same. Yes, your child may have some things that they need to work on, but again, as parents, it starts with us, right? And so we want to make sure that we are not unintentionally blaming the one child or children for all of the problems that are in the family or that are in our own lives, right? So start by praying. I'm going to validate their emotions. And then number three, teach them how you make decisions. Now, I know that this tip may not be developmentally appropriate. This is not something that you would, you know, teach to a toddler. But I do think that as your children get older, that it's okay for you to give them an appropriate amount of context for how you make decisions. Instead of just telling the kids what to do or because I said so, give them some context to how you came to that conclusion. As I was thinking about this particular tip, it reminded me of the Cosby Show episode, The Real World, where they introduced Theo to what it's like to live on your own. How do you get in an apartment? How do you manage your money? How do you get furniture? And it's one of my favorite episodes just because I think it taught Theo how to figure out that maybe the way he was approaching life was not going to be sustainable once he got on his own. And so as parents, I think it's really important that we go beyond just teaching them about money and about financial stewardship, or not just telling them what to do, but give them some background information for how you make decisions. Now, again, this may not be developmentally appropriate depending on your child or children's age, but as they age, God will show you when to have teaching moments. Here's how I made this particular decision. If I have $100 and I still need to buy gas and groceries, is it responsible for me to take this $100 and say maybe go and buy a new outfit or maybe go partying with it? Here are the ways that I make financial decisions. And even deeper than that, teach them how you evaluate your relationships. Here are the things that I considered when I decided that I needed to end this friendship with someone. And that will give your child again, some context for how you make decisions, because our goal is to teach them how to live independently. And part of that is helping them to be a self-manager, because you won't always be there, right? And you don't want your kids to fear you. We want to teach them how to make their own decisions. Number four, this tip is one of my absolute favorite tips. When this tip was given to me many, many years ago when my son was very young, it was absolutely life-changing. And this tip is to pray with them. I know, I think instinctively as parents, we pray for them, right? We pray for them. And when we pray with them, it's still us leading the prayer typically. But what I love about this tip is that we go beyond praying for them and praying with them, and then we start to let them lead the prayer. This is a very powerful tip because you get to know what's on their hearts. You get a live demonstration of their spiritual and emotional maturity, and you also get to model various aspects of prayer, right? So, of course, as they start out, they might be praying, God, give us this, bless us with this. We need these things, right? But as we mature, as they mature in their spiritual life, we get to model for them as we pray and teach them how to worship God in our prayer, how to give thanksgiving in our prayer, how to intercede for others in our prayer, how to petition God, how to ask for forgiveness and receive that forgiveness through prayer. And so this is one of my all-time favorite parenting tips. So not just praying with them, but having them to lead the prayer, right? So far we've talked about asking God to specifically show you how to parent each child. We've talked about validating their emotions. We've talked about teaching them how you make decisions. And we've talked about praying with them and allowing them to lead the prayer. Number five, I want you to re-examine your parenting goals for your children. I think sometimes, as I was saying earlier, we may have these great intentions for our kids. We want our kids to be successful, but I think we might be sometimes pushing them to accomplish what we didn't accomplish, or we set goals for them based on what society says that they should be doing by a certain age, or what girls should be doing, or what boys should be doing. And I'm definitely not saying to lower your standards for your child, but what I am saying is that getting to know them through God's eyes is powerful, because He can show you what to say. He can show you what activities to put your child in to nurture the gifts that He put in them. He can show you when to intervene, and He can show you when to be still to let Him teach them in another way, right? So re-examining your parenting goals leaves room for God to show them who they are and His purpose for them. I think so many of us don't know our purpose because we're taught at a young age that this is what boys do, this is what girls do, this is what you need to have done by a certain age. And most of that is healthy, right? Most of those are healthy maturation phases of life. However, I do think that we miss the nuances of that when we are trying to live a script for our life that someone else wrote for us. I cannot tell you how many adult kids I've counseled who absolutely hate their lives. They hate their careers. You know why? Because they have built a life that their parents wanted them to live. They have been engaged in certain things that they thought made their parents happy. And one of the main examples that I, two of the main examples that I get are related to sports and related to career decisions. For example, you have somebody who has maybe played football his whole life, and then when he gets to my office, he says, I hate football. I hated it. I wanted to stop playing years ago. I fell out of love with it years ago, but I couldn't because I didn't think that my dad would be okay with it. I wanted to try something else, but my dad told me that I couldn't quit, or my mom told me that she'd already invested too much money and it was too late to turn back now. And so then there is this unspoken resentfulness and also this fear that if I told my parents that I don't love this sport or that I want to try a different sport, that I'll be letting my parent down and that they may not love me as much as I want them to love me, because I see how happy it makes them when they brag about me or when I score points or different things like that. And so another example along those same lines is when parents tell their child, you either major in this certain thing and pursue this particular career, or I'm not helping you pay for college, which puts the kid in a corner, right? It puts the student, the child, in a corner because they're like, okay, do I potentially lose the love and affection and support of my parent? Well, that's a big risk. And a lot of times people choose to just pursue the thing that makes their parent happy, but it's to their own emotional detriment. And so point I'm making here with this is I want you to re-examine the goals that you have for them. Because as you're praying, God might show you that the goals that you have for them may not be the goals that He has for them. We don't want to sacrifice our parenting relationship with our kids for success in career and sports and different things like that. Because when we teach that success is the only goal, then competition and winning and coveting and comparison are bred in their hearts. And then they bring those attitudes to their adult relationships. So you want to let your child know that no amount of disappointment or not meeting your goals will not keep you from loving them, right? Their value comes from who they are and not what they do. So when we examine and adjust our own parenting goals for our children, we leave room for God to show us ways how to mold their self-talk. So when they fail, or when they fall down, or when they doubt their self-worth, or when they feel alone or overlooked or don't make the team, whatever those things are, we can go back and apply the Word of God. One of my favorite scriptures that applies to parenting in this aspect is found in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18, and it's coming from the TPT, or the Passion Translation. And it says, "You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me." That is a beautiful scripture that you can refer your kids to, that you can refer to yourself when you're starting to doubt and you're worried about how your child is going to turn out, when you're not sure that your child knows that he or she is loved. These are the types of scriptures that can help to shape and mold their inner self-talk. Number 6, examine your parenting expectations and values. So number 5 was re-examine your parenting goals. Number 6 is examining your parenting expectations and values. If you're not sure what your parenting expectations and values are, then start to notice what you emphasize and what you pay attention to, what triggers you, what gets you upset. And you can even ask your kids what you focus on the most. They'll tell you. And as you're re-examining your parenting expectations and values, I want you to think about your own parenting experience, right? Just because something was or was not expected of you does not mean that it's right for your child. And so I want to ask you a question. As you examine your parenting expectations, Are your expectations of your child or children realistic? This is a valuable tip because when your goals and your expectations of your child are unrealistic, you can end up making them afraid of you, and they only get skilled at hiding things, right? And then that translates over to their relationship with God, and they start hiding from God. And it's a good idea to pray for them to have a healthy sense of conviction and not condemnation, where they always think that they've done something wrong and that they can't measure up to your standards. Because if they can't measure up to your parenting expectations and your values, then they certainly won't measure up to God's standards in their minds, right? And I believe this is one reason why a lot of kids grow up and walk away from our Christian faith, because we as parents have unintentionally given them a false impression of God. They walk away with the message that God is some unstable being that blocks all your fun and who's never satisfied. I'm going to give you another scripture that comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, also from the Passion Translation. It says, "And fathers, don't have unrealistic expectations of your children, or else they may become discouraged." This is a great one to reference. So ask God to reveal your expectations to you. Reveal those things that maybe you have never verbalized to your children or to yourself, but they definitely show up through your parenting and your behavior and your reactions to them. You want to show your kids that it's okay to come to you when they mess up, because that's your opportunity to teach them how to go to God for reconciliation, for forgiveness, and redirection. And speaking of messing up, let's talk about our tip number 7. You want to discipline your kids with grace. I think we often take that scripture out of context, the one that's found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, that talks about if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. And I think people assume that it means to immediately jump in with increasing degrees of corporal punishment when the child messes up. But that's not what that scripture means. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, the New Living Translation, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." So if we're leading with the mindset of punishment that's based on our emotions and we're reactive in our efforts to discipline them, or we're leading with what was done or not done to us, then we're not leaning on God. We're not leaning in to hear what God has to say about how he wants us to discipline each child, right? Because if you think about your own life, God disciplines you in a way that's different from how he disciplines someone else. He has to get our attention in different ways. So if we go in with a preconceived set of punishment ideas, then we may miss the mark. We may miss the opportunity, right? When you discipline with grace, you come to have a right understanding of what discipline is and the purpose of it. We don't seek to punish our kids as Christian parents, but we seek to discipline them and to teach them. Our goal as godly parents is to discipline them with love, wisdom, and grace for the purpose of producing godly character. And I'll say that again because I think that last piece is very important. Our goal as godly parents is to discipline them with love, wisdom, and grace for the purpose of producing godly character. And a scripture that's very helpful that can help you remember the purpose of discipline is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. And this also comes from the Passion Translation. It says, "And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as children? He said, 'My child, don't underestimate the value of the discipline and training of the Lord God, or get depressed when he has to correct you. For the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his faithful love. When he draws you to himself, it proves you are his delightful child. Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who has never had to be corrected? We should all welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. If we have never once endured his correction, it only proves we are strangers and not sons. And isn't it true that we respect our earthly fathers even though they corrected and disciplined us? Then we should demonstrate an even greater respect for God, our spiritual father, as we submit to his life-giving discipline. Our parents corrected us for the short time of our childhood as it seemed good to them. But God corrects us throughout our lives for our own good, giving us an invitation to share his holiness. Now, all discipline seems to be more pain than pleasure at the time. Yet later it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield it. This is a great scripture to help you start to transform your heart and your mind as it relates to discipline. I really want you to ask God to show you how to discipline with grace instead of coming from a mindset of punishment. Because there are times when, as parents, we might have to extend grace, right? I'm not saying to relax your standards or never discipline your child or not to hold them accountable. I'm not saying that you should have inconsistent discipline or no boundaries in your parenting. I'm definitely not suggesting that. But I think if we change our hearts and minds about punishment to really understanding that we are to discipline instead of punish and that it's for the purpose of producing godly character, I think that can help you decide in the moment, how do I need to respond to this? Maybe the first thing that I've done in the past was to spank the child and put them on a punishment for a month. But maybe God is saying to you in this situation, I don't want you to discipline that way. I want you to use this as a teaching moment. If it's developmentally appropriate, should I share that I've experienced the same thing with my child and here's what I learned from it. This is how I bumped my head and this is how I grew from that situation. So if you tune in to God in your parenting, I know that he will show you how to discipline with grace. Number 8, the final tip that I'll share with you to become a better parent today is to submit your parenting fears to God. The research shows that parents have some similar fears as it relates to parenting. And some of those top fears and the rank of them changes, but the fears in general tend to be the same. They're usually fears that their child won't be successful, that they'll grow up and be a failure. A lot of parents fear that their child might get some terminal illness or that they may develop a mental illness or that they'll get in an accident and be injured for life or that they may die from an accident. Parents also fear that their child won't be socially accepted. They fear that their child might not fit in and might get bullied and things like that. In today's age, a lot of parents also fear that their child may not be safe on the internet or may get involved in social trafficking or sexting and things like that. And so I know that other parents I've talked to have experienced these types of anxieties. I know that I've experienced these types of fears. And I want you to think about how that shows up in your parenting, right? Ask yourself, how does my fear show up in my parenting? Does it cause me to do or not do certain things that I probably should or should not do, but I'm being held back because of my fear? And a lot of times we have things in our own lives that have not been addressed. And so then we project those fears onto our kids, right? And then remember, we're shaping their inner world. We're shaping their thoughts. And so when we're anxious about various things, and I don't want to dismiss these fears. A lot of these fears are healthy. They're normal because it gives us a way to find ways to protect our kids. But when our fear moves over to anxiety, where it's a perpetual way of thinking and parenting, that is where we have to remind ourselves that God says, be anxious for nothing. And so that's the point I want to make. Submit your parenting anxieties to God, because those fears typically show up as thinking traps, right? So if you look at some of the other episodes that I've talked about where I talked about spiritual thinking traps, there are also some parenting thinking traps. And one of them is catastrophizing. So if your child, for example, decides that they want to stop drill team or cheerleading, then in our mind, we automatically think, well, if I allow them to stop this activity, then they're going to be a quitter for their entire lives. They're going to quit everything that they start. I don't want my child to be a quitter. And so then we force them to stay in something that may not be physically or emotionally safe for them. Another parenting thinking trap is black or white thinking, where we think in all or none terms, or we talk to our kids about how they always or they never do something. Another one is mind reading. Every time your child does something, you say to yourself, my child hates me, or my child did this because. And that one is called personalization, where every wrong or bad decision that your child makes, you assume it's because you're a bad parent. And so I really want you to think about ways that you have anxiety in your parenting and how that shows up and how you interact and how you relate and how you respond to your child, because we want to give those anxieties over to God. We want to cast our parenting fears over. My grandmother shared something with me, and I've heard her say this over my life, and it has just been an anchor for me. When I start to feel really anxious about parenting, I'm reminded of her quote. She says, "You love your child, but God loves them best." How comforting is that? Yes, I don't want my child to grow up and be a failure. I don't want my child to develop some sort of illness that maims them. I don't want my child to be shunned where she's bullied. All of those things, right? Those are things that we can submit to God, but no amount of me fixing it is going to solve it. It might temporarily solve it to make me feel good, but haven't you noticed that the anxiety comes right back? It's not a permanent solution. And so what works is to take that to God every single time. Take it to God, because God loves them best. So these 8 tips are ways that you can become a better parent today. These are not hard and fast rules, but hopefully I've said something today that you can use. Take what you need and share the rest with someone else who may benefit. I want to end with this quote from Andy Smithson, who says, "The sign of great parenting is not the child's behavior. The sign of truly great parenting is the parent's behavior." Normally in this part of the podcast, I go over to Dr. Q's couch, but I don't have any specific questions today or scenarios to respond to. And so we will jump right into our prayer time. Father God, thank you just for another day in your presence. Thank you for blessing us with the gift of natural or foster kids or stepkids. Thank you, Father God, just for entrusting lives to us. We want to submit our parenting efforts to you. We know that we cannot do this without you. And in our efforts to pray for our kids, God, we want to pray for ourselves as parents. Give us the wisdom that we need. Your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. So we are asking for parenting wisdom. Would you give us a spiritual download of the things that we need to know to specifically parent each child that we have in our lives? Help us to be in tune with our fears. Help us to cast those fears onto you so that we can learn to discipline and love our children with grace, and we can point them to you, who is the ultimate lover of our souls. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. Well, that is all that I have for you today. I definitely do want to make sure that you get the show notes. And I'm also reminded that when I talked about validating or learning to acknowledge your own emotions, I definitely do still want to give you a plug. If you are struggling with identifying your emotions or handling those unpleasant emotions, I want to encourage you to get my new book, The Emotion Devotional, and it is on Amazon and now also on Barnes & Noble, and I will be sure to also include that in the show notes. Until next time, take care.